One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What's up, all you candy fiends? Thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And I know. I don't have any cool nicknames. I wished I did. Y'all send them in, expandedperspectivesyahoo.com, Cam's nickname. But with me is the man that has been fighting off the diabetes all day from digging into his kids' Halloween candy bag. Big Fizzy, Kyle Filio Fils.
How's it going, folks? I'm here. Yes, in studio. I've had my fill of Snickers bars, Babe Ruth's, Nerds.
See, that's what I'm jealous of. My kids don't trick or treat, right? And my daughter, my wife took my great niece and my niece, her mother, and they all went and ran around.
Mm-hmm.
And your ass has all these kids that's got, looks like pillowcases full of candy.
We got lucky because it's been cold and raining, and it rained all day. I mean, hard, because I was like, what are we going to do tonight? A lot of the places that were having haunted houses and stuff, they canceled it all. But it worked out in our favor. It quit raining about an hour before sun, you know, when it got dark, when the sun went down. And so it scared off all the people. So
it was
perfect. The kids went around, and lots of times when they go around in this neighborhood, it's not in our neighborhood, but a neighborhood that a friend of ours lives in. If you don't get there early, like, everybody's out of candy. The houses are just like, sorry, we'd like to give you some. Kids are out.
Were they fistful in candy this time?
Yeah, it was, six, 7 pounds of candy each.
Oh.
And luckily, some of the candy I like, they don't like. So I really like Snickers bars. All three of my boys, they don't like them. So
why didn't you bring them with you to the studio?
They just give them, I'm sorry. Same reason why didn't your daughter bring any cookies in here?
I know. I got to get her. She's at, right now, she's at Bass Performance Hall with one of her friends watching the orchestra do the Harry Potter music.
Oh, you know what orchestra I would like to see?
Trans-Siberian?
No, I've seen that. I'd like to see Two Steps from Hell.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
I don't even know if they come to the States. I know that if you go on YouTube, you can watch them where they perform in Prague a lot. So I'm guessing they're orchestra from Czech Republic.
What are the dudes that play the cellos and did it with Metallica?
Oh, yeah.
Remember what I'm talking about? Apocalypto?
Yeah, maybe.
Isn't that them? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
That's a good movie. And recently
listen
I tried to...
Listen to the craziness of us, folks.
Listen to the segues, right?
Now we're talking to segue into that. And then Apocalypto. Hey, that's a good movie. And then it goes, no, we haven't had any sugar.
I haven't had any in the last 2 hours.
I've had a couple of cups of coffee.
Yeah. Do you put sugar in it?
Yeah, but not much.
I try to be strong. You know, like I feel weak in lots of ways.
You are. I'm looking at you.
I know that I am, but I also feel that way. Like, you ever watch a movie and a guy's like drinking straight scotch and you're like, man, I wish I could be tough enough to do that.
There's no way I can do that.
I can't do it either. I'm the same with like these guys that drink this really bold black coffee straight up. They're like, don't put any creamer in there. And I'm too weak.
I can now and then.
I can't. Depends
on
the coffee.
If it's real cold and it's, you're right, it has to be good pressed, like French press or drip, you know, the drip coffee.
Yeah. I can do it.
I'm not going to front. It's good, but if you pour a little chocolate truffle creamer in there, it's way better.
It's real good.
I don't care who you are.
But I am too. I'm not manly enough to drink scotch. I can't smoke cigarettes.
No.
I can't.
I did when I was young, but I was trying to be cool then.
That was
a long, long time ago.
I can't dip or chew. I can smoke cigars. I can vape. I can do things like that, but outside of that, I can drink beer. That's pretty much,
that's
the manliest thing I can do. I can cook a steak, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I can't. I've always wanted to be able to have like the stones in the glass and
that's
drink
me. That's
the
what I'm
scotch.
Saying. Like when you're young, you think that that's what you're going to, I'm like, well, I just can't do it now. When I get old, I'm going to be sophisticated. I'll have a smoking robe on. I'll just drink, you know, Kentucky bourbon straight, but still 42. Weak. If I drink it straight, I'm like,
I start gagging. It goes back into the story I told about vomiting on you and all that stuff.
Maybe that's it. Maybe when the Canadian mist that forever changed my course in life.
I think it ruined my taste buds for any sort of whiskey or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like I can't smell it.
I recently read an article where they said a certain amount, of course, of tequila is actually healthy for you. Something in the tequila is like good for your bones or something like that.
But what's that amount?
That's the big.
I think I blow past that every now and again back in the, because I can't drink that either.
I love the taste of it, but every time I drink some of that, me and my wife get in a fight. Like every time.
Yeah.
So like I'm not even allowed. She's like, no.
Yeah.
No tequila for you.
Yeah. You get angry.
I do. I don't know.
I get that way with vodka.
Is that really?
I think there may be like some Russian genes in my family or something, and I start drinking a little bit of the vodka, and then I get real hateful. Of course, I'm hateful normally, but I mean, I get like more hateful than normal. That's my wife's the same way. That's why I have no liquor. None of that stuff. But also, I don't like it because the drinks I like are like a Tom Collins or something. You know, I mean,
I like a good like a Bloody Mary.
Shirley Temple.
Yeah, Shirley Temples are awesome.
Cosmopolitan.
I don't know what's in that.
Yeah, but you'd drink it. That's fine.
I'd try it.
I
like a really dirty martini because I like olives.
I like pina coladas.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Margaritas. You know, I like those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You like yours margaritas on the rocks? Or you like it where it's like a slurping?
No, I like it on the rocks.
That's me, right?
Because it's too icy. I drink it too fast. I get a headache because I don't know how to control
myself.
This
is like an alcoholic Slurpee.
It's the same way when they bring out hot brownies, like out of the oven. I eat them way too fast.
Yeah,
then I'm sick in my
stomach. Right?
No, I can't, dude. Look at me.
Speaking of eating stuff that's too hot, when you're really drunk, that's the worst. Right? I don't know how many times like I've bitten into a piece of pizza and like the whole top layer of my roof of my mouth
like
just
a
like
snake
falls
skin.
Out. Yeah, you're just like, I'm so hungry. I'm on 6th Street. It's 2 in the morning.
I did it the other day with coffee. I got in the car and I grabbed my coffee and I'm like, God. And I was thirsty. I didn't have anything when I got up that morning. Usually I have like a big glass of water to start the morning off, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and I hadn't had anything. I was in a hurry. I was running late because I was a deadbeat and I was trying to, you know. And I just grabbed the coffee and I went. And about the time it hit the back of my tongue is when I realized, hey, dumbass, this is hot, remember? And it just scalded the back of my throat. Yeah, it was bad.
That's why I can't use those Yeti cups. I got a couple for a gift years ago, and I told you, I put my hot coffee in there. An hour later, it's still scalding hot.
Yeah, it's too hot
to
drink.
I'd like to drink it sometime today.
Yeah,
I also read an article where they talked about like one of the first things you should drink in the morning is water. But they say don't drink ice cold water. Drink like room temperature water. Ice cold water is too much of a shock to your system.
I just drink tap water. I just open it up and then go for it.
But the comment is what gets me. Ice cold water is too much of a shock to your system. I'm like, I'm not so weak where ice cold water affects my system.
Are we sure about this?
I'm pretty sure. My system has endured quite a bit in the 42 years I've been walking around in this meat vehicle.
My thing is this. Don't you think the generations and generations of your ancestors that fought their way with hatchet and sword across all kinds of barren landscapes and hordes of other attackers and defending their families from murder and rape? And you
would look down on you.
You can't drink ice water too fast in the morning.
Right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever just been out of the blue, just feel like a sharp pain inside of your stomach or something? And be like, oh, that's it. I'm dying. That's it.
My wife gets mad at me because anytime I have a pain, any side that's on the inside, I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'm dying. That's it. That's where it starts. I'll be dead in a week. And she gets so mad. Or like if my knee hurts, I'm like, yeah, that's where it starts in the bone right there. It's over. It's done.
Yeah.
She gets so mad at me about that.
Yeah, my wife's like, don't you think we need to lurk in the life insurance policies? No, not really. If I die, that's your problem. You're on your own.
Yeah. It's not my problem.
It's not my problem.
Also, my wife gets mad at me and at Mr. Filson because both of us have always, since we were little, when we sneeze, we over-exaggerate. We sell it. Like, and you yell. And
belch. I pretend like I'm almost on the verge of throwing up.
I oversell things and I'm overly dramatic. like a drag queen dramatic. Like I'm like over the top with it. And she, look, it was funny to her when I was 16. When I'm 43 years old and she's been around it this whole time,
she's like,
I wish you would die.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I have a lot of life insurance. She's taken out piles on me. So she's going, I'm surprised she hasn't tried to kill me already. So we'll see.
Right. Well, let's get into the news.
Lay it on me, homie.
Check this out. Apparently, just a couple summers ago, there was a bizarre tentacled being. That's right. You heard me. Well, that was observed near Grand Junction, Colorado.
What was your mom doing up there? Was she busy just visiting friends or something? Yep. Octopi porn.
All right, back to the story.
It says, How's your mother doing?
This happened back during the summer of 2016. I was staying at my grandparents' house for a few weeks in the summer while my mom was on vacation.
See, I told you it was your mother.
They live near Grand Junction, Colorado. And their house is by a large river, and the whole area has a ton of trees, lots of plant life, and lots of animals. I was letting my dog out one night, and there's hardly any lights around their property, so I grabbed a flashlight. Now, my dog is outside for maybe a minute before I hear her start viciously growling and barking like I've never heard before. She's...
I'm trying to help out.
You know, Pond 5 can help us out with that. She's growled and barked at animals or people outside before, but this was way more aggressive than I've ever heard her, and I started making my way over to my dog to investigate. I make it about halfway to my dog, and I freeze dead in my tracks, and I'm pointing my flashlight in the direction that she's facing, and I see the most unsettling thing I've ever seen.
A dog's butt.
At first, I think I'm just imagining it or tripping out, but there was no denying it was as clear as day. It was about 3 to 4 feet tall, a rectangular figure, but with rounded edges. Imagine like a 4 foot tall Twinkie. It was this gross, translucent, tan flesh color, like the color of a naked mole rat. There was no apparent face or limbs. All I saw was a bunch of tentacle leg looking things protruding all down the front side of its body. The way it was moving was so creepy. At first, it was sort of gently rocking side to side, and then I swear it started taunting my dog, like running from one spot to another, just to mess with her. At this point, I got too scared. It would do something to my dog, so I ran to her, snatched her up, and I booked it inside and locked the front door. When I peeked back outside, the thing was gone. I don't think anybody has ever disturbed me that much in real life before. My body wouldn't stop shaking for probably 25 minutes after I got inside. The most messed up part is the next day I told my aunt I saw a weird alien bug-looking creature outside the night before. She then said, I've seen some weird stuff out there, and proceeded to explain seeing the exact same thing I saw. The same color, the same shape, lots of tentacle centipede-looking appendages. And the icing on the cake for me was when that she said it kept rocking from side to side. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's exactly what I saw last night. We both got chills and flipped out because it confirmed it was not our imagination. Now, what kind of story is that? I mean,
worried, Ray. It's getting crowded in there. All my recent data points to something big on the horizon. What do you mean, the big? Well, let's say this Twinkie represents the normal amount of psychokinetic
Egon.
Energy in the
I was like, what are we listening to?
This Twinkie. What? Okay.
Right? I mean,
oh, whoa. There's no mistaking a giant tentacled Twinkie. Like, what is that? There's not like, oh, yeah, I saw a bear, but for a second, I thought it was a giant tentacled Twinkie.
It has to be like an alien or
it has to be
much like the John Carpenter's The Thing. It was something in transition before, you know, it was trying to make itself look like something normal.
That's true. You know what it first made me think of, though, is the jellyfish. When it, like the jellyfish they would see, like floating, people have reported seeing like jellyfish or like stingrays or something.
Yeah,
like
mantis. Mantis looking beings.
That's what it made me think of.
Yeah. Yeah. You're onto something.
But with the rocking, you know, we've discussed that, too, with that crazy rocking business. That's a little disturbing.
Totally.
Yeah, check. Now I'm out. Punch me out. Just I would just scream and just, you know, but also you said this was up in Colorado, right?
Yep.
The devil's lettuce might have been flowing hard and heavy up there.
Maybe. I've never seen anything close to that, though.
when you've been on the devil's lettuce.
I don't know what you're talking about,
sir. Right. This is going to be something you're going to enjoy, is we're going to stick on the crazy alien creature
kick
here.
Yeah.
From our buddies at Cryptozoology News.
Yeah.
Two people encounter an alien creature in Australia.
Mm.
Now, I know you don't believe Australia's real, Kyle, but we're going
I believe Australia's real. Finland, I've read, is not real.
Oh, that's
right?
True. Well, how do they stay on the planet? How do they not fall off?
Right. Can you show me a picture of planes flying upside down? I recently heard a flat earther debating. It's like, show me that and I'll believe it. I'm like, are you? You soft
just
in the
stop.
Head.
Just stop.
Is there something wrong with
a
you?
A fully functional brain.
Yeah. Oh, crikey. So there was somebody that was out on a walkabout. Go ahead. They had a blooming onion and...
drinking a Foster's. No. It says, two men in Victoria say that they came upon an entity that they could not immediately identify. One of the eyewitnesses, who didn't provide a name, said that he and his friend were walking the streets of Harkaway when this purported being showed up. Now, this fellow was talking to MUFON last week when he was describing all this. This happened to them back in 2016. Now, the fellow says that it was about 2 a.m. and they had rounded a corner on the street and a large glowing white entity drew on their. He said, our eyes just bingo. Here's this giant glowing like entity in the sky.
Mm.
Now, he said, well, and I guess it's the way he first talks about it. It's ground level. But he said it's about 10 foot tall. So there's a 10 footer. He says it moved very quickly. Now, here's the wildest thing. He said it looked at us, took 2 strides over this little ridge, like over the little peak in the road,
yeah,
and vanished. And he's like right in front of him. He's like right as it got to the peak, gone. Just snap of fingers, gone.
Mm.
So, again, it sounds interdimensional. If it looked, why would there be an alien that looked like that?
I have
a glowing, like, 10-foot tall white entity.
Well, that's the mystery. Nobody knows what aliens are supposed to look like.
Yeah, yeah. But something, I don't know why I feel like they should be...
humanoid?
Yeah, like some humanoid man-shaped thing is what you would think they would be, but maybe they don't have to be. Or maybe it's like those probes that they shoot down in Star Wars. Remember how they just pop up and then they float around and scan for those droids? Yeah. Maybe that's some sort of alien probe is what these things are that we're seeing. That's the reason they're kind of shapeless and formless.
Mm.
But even that being, if you have the ability to travel millions of light years or whatnot across space, you probably don't need to shoot down some sort of mechanical giant entity. It would be about the size of the head of a pin could come down and gather up all the information that you really needed.
You would think, but
it'd be the size
knows?
Of like a flying phone.
Yeah.
Would be all you would really need.
Well, that's one of the theories about the Greys, is that they're actually not biological.
Yeah.
The Greys that abduct people, they are, in fact, like androids.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because, you know, their version of Boston Dynamics is making their Atlas robots. To them, it's a Grey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to be discussing some listener stories that were sent to us. You've not let us down. Y'all have bombarded our emails, like crushing server emails with stories that have happened to y'all. I don't know what's got into it, but we've gotten piles of them. And this is one of those. It's one of my favorites that was sent in to us. And Kyle and I have been noticing we've gotten several along this line of stories. So when we get back, I'm going to tell you the story, and then we're going to discuss a little bit more about what Kyle and I are just now going to start calling the Glimmer Man. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, let's fire this thing up.
Yes.
Now, what I was discussing was, before we went into break, and I said what Kyle and I are going to start calling the Glimmer Man. I've covered several of these stories in the past, and we would always cue the Predator music, cue the Predator music. It's the crazy idea of people seeing the clear predator whenever he's got on his camo and he's hidden in the woods. There's more and more of these stories coming forward. There's more and more people are sending us these stories. You can find a few more online. Like, this is something that I don't know. I wouldn't really say it's gaining traction, because to me, it's not really gaining traction. To me, gaining traction would be something like the sightings that we're having in Chicago when there's a sighting flap. Let's just say that there's a few more people coming out that's talking about seeing this thing. And also, it would be easily misidentified unless you got a good, clear look at it. And that's exactly what has happened in this story here.
And, you know, these sightings are dating before the movie,
yes,
The Predator came out.
Yes.
So it wasn't like somebody saw the movie and was like, yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting people, and even in this one, that took place before anybody had ever, they just didn't know what to, I guess, quantify it as. There was no box that they could put this in or nothing that you could tell somebody, because, you know, we always go back to the movie Predator. That's what we always go back to. And it's funny that we've related that to it. It's like we've discussed, it's almost like we've given that power in our mind. Or was it somebody involved in the making of that movie said, you know what? I've heard of some of these sightings back in the past, back then. Because when did it come out? 85, I think, is when the Predator came out.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, so some of this stuff took place way before that. So I'm going to get into this. And like I said, I want to call this fella DT. DT sent this in from Louisiana. And DT, and all it was titled was Predator. And I'm like, dude, you've hooked me in. So I'm going to read what we were sent. It says, hey, guys. Let me start off by saying how much I love the show and I really appreciate all the work you guys do. Now, being an outdoorsman my whole life as well, I feel that I can relate to y'all, and also being next door neighbors here in Louisiana makes it that much better. First off, I want to say that even sharing this is hard because it's so unsettling for me. This experience has left me shaken and really questioning a lot in my life. Y'all hit it on the head when you say how people are really affected by these encounters. It's taken me some time just to get over this, and I still don't think I'm really over it, but more like just living with it, if that makes sense. My wife is the one who urged me to share these two stories with y'all, telling me it would make me feel better, or a little better at least, if I got it out, and I think she's been right so far. I hope if anyone else has had anything like this happen, please share them. I know there's stuff online, but people should share more of their stories and make others aware that stuff like this is real and out there. Now that I can get off my soapbox, I'll get into the story. Sorry. DT writes, I live in a little town in Grant Parish, Louisiana. It's a very small town, less than 500 people. And trust me when I say everyone knows each other. That's not a joke. People know what you're having for dinner before you do. Now, please don't say, this is where I got it. Please don't say the town name on the show or our real names. I really don't want this getting back to me. And I'd like to kind of be outside looking from, looking in at what y'all find out, if that's okay. I've grown up hunting and fishing my whole life and spent countless hours in the Castache National Forest. It's over 600,000 acres of public land and over 100 miles of hiking and biking trails.
everything a growing boy needs, and I'm sure Sasquatch could use also. There's lakes and creeks and plenty of wildlife. It's a home away from home for most us boys growing up here. Fishing and duck hunting and bow hunting is just what we do, and we love it. So I'm in my 30s, and I've never had anything strange happen to me in my life. No lights in the sky or seeing anything strange until last year. During bow season here, you can only hunt certain designated units, and you can't bait deer here, and you can't leave your stand up either. So in order to be successful, you have to put in some time scouting. We use a lot of portable stands and climbing sticks because they're lightweight and easy to move. Oh, and to beat the other hunters, we go as deep into the woods away from the four-wheeler trails as we can. So last summer, me and my cousin, he's my number one hunting buddy and has been my whole life, start scouting trails. Now we're putting up game cameras and marking with our GPSs for all the good spots and the places that we think will give us the edge for the upcoming season. It's August, so it's hot and muggy and pretty much miserable, but you have to do it. We pack in and hike around and camp all through this area and have no problems until that afternoon. We pick a camping spot and start setting up our stuff, and all is going great until my cousin asks if I heard that thing following us. I said hell no, and to stop being silly, that we weren't kids anymore, and that didn't work like it used to. Well, he looks me dead in the eye, and he says, "Man, I'm not joking." He says that I thought you were just ignoring it, so that's what I was trying to do. But it was getting close to me, and then backing off, and then closing back in, and backing off. And I told him I hadn't heard a thing, and maybe it was just him hearing stuff, and that he was just tired, and we just needed some rest and to get some food in us, and everything would be good. So he agreed. We set up camp and started dinner. Now, the weird thing about hearing something like that is now every little noise you hear, you start thinking of stuff, and your mind starts making you crazy. All that evening, the fire would dance on the trunks of the trees, and I'd think I saw something shimmer, or that I heard something walking around the camp. And like, I mean all damn night walking around the camp. So I slept with my pistol close, and the next morning we packed it all up and we kept scouting. About lunchtime, we stopped and started having some freeze-dried backpacker food where you just have to add the water. And I was using my little, and this is what he writes, and I actually have one of these. I was using my little jet boil to get the water boiling. Says it's pretty loud for a little pocket stove, so you have some leftover roaring noise in your ears when you turn it off. Well, I shut it down and poured it up in our packets, and then we sat there about to dig in. And that's when my life changed forever. My cousin jumps straight up and freezes standing there. I looked up from what I was eating, kind of startled, and asked, "What the hell are you doing?" He didn't, or couldn't rather, reply. He just stared at this little clearing about 60 yards from us. I was starting to get that weird feeling that something wasn't right, and after that night and all the noises I heard, I could feel all the warning bells going off in my body, like when you see a snake that you didn't know was there. Except this feeling was just lingering. So I ask him a second time, and he tells me in a shaky, whispery voice, "I see the predator." Now, at this point, I guess I should have laughed or something, but it never crossed my mind. I jumped up and I looked with him, and no joke, man, there it was. Now, not like in the movie where you can see the alien thing, but like this man-shaped shimmer. It was about 10 or 12 foot up in a tree, and it was crouched down, but you could clearly tell it was like a guy shape. I wheeled around and started throwing our lunch stuff in my pack while my cousin just kept staring at it. And I'm really glad he did, because looking back, if I'd have been alone, I would have just ran and left everything. The packing took me less than 60 seconds, and I had my backpack on, and I was holding his pack. I walked back over to where he was, and this thing was still crouched on the limb. So I start thinking, maybe it's nothing, and we're just freaking ourselves out
because it hadn't moved an inch. At that moment, it was like it could read my thoughts. This thing stands up and drops down off the limb and to the ground. My effing heart stops. It was about 5 feet tall at max, and it was man-shaped exact. And when it hit the ground, you could hear it make an audible sound, like if any of us was to jump out of a tree. It then steps back and against the tree it came out of for like 5 seconds, and then here it came. It moved towards us with a fluid movement of an animal and covered about 10 yards in no time and slipped behind some small brush and stopped. We grabbed at each other and took off. Now, we was a pretty good ways from where we had parked and started this whole thing and knew it would be a couple hours hike because we like to make a big circle when we go out. So there was no sprinting nonstop to safety or anything. We just had to push as hard as we could to get back to the truck. We moved as fast and as direct as we could, making our way through the brush and through the forest, but it wasn't near fast enough. Every time we stopped and tried to catch our breath, there it was. Now, it would never get closer than 50 feet to us, but it was right there every single time we stopped moving, and I'm now positive that was what we heard the day prior and all that night. It would move alongside us and parallel us through this thick stuff, but it seemed to move much easier than we could. We never heard it speak or even breathing, or we never heard it make any sounds besides just the normal sounds of movement. We pushed on so hard that I thought I was going to have a heart attack. We eventually made it back to the truck, and this thing or this predator or whatever it was had shadowed us for over 2 hours and constant movement. We threw our stuff in the back and hauled ass. We didn't speak at all on the way home. We weren't just exhausted, but I now think that we must have been in some type of shock. I dropped my cousin off at his house, and I went home and I sat on my porch just looking at the trees and the other houses, making sure it wasn't there either. And my wife knew something wasn't right, and she started questioning me, and after a few hours, I told her, I know this sounds kind of silly, but just holding her and telling her made me feel better and helped me realize it was over and I was home. I didn't go back out there for a while, and if I hadn't left my trail cam out there, I probably wouldn't have gone back at all that year. So jump forward to Christmas of 2017, a few months after this thing went down. We're all over at my folks' place and having a big lunch and a great time with family. Typical Southern Christmas, y'all know. And I'm sitting out by the fire ring alone, having a whiskey, and my dad comes out with an eggnog or something because he doesn't drink, and he sits down beside me. Now, we don't say anything for a bit. We're both just watching the fire, and without looking up, he says, "So you ran into the Phantom too?" Now, my dad and I are best friends, and we've talked about everything, but you could have knocked me down with a feather when he said that. This is not a conversation I was ever planning on telling my dad, or anyone else for that matter, except my wife. Hell, my cousin and I haven't discussed it since that day. Until now, my dad tells me this. My dad says that my wife had said something to him because she was worried that I hadn't been the same since my experience. He had asked her what happened, and she pulled him aside and told him what I'd said. All of this had gone down just minutes before he came outside to talk to me. So now back to me and my dad. I whip my head around, and before I can say anything, he tells me, I ran into him my senior year of high school. He tells me that in the winter of 75, he and one of his best friends, and I know this guy, was out duck hunting on a guy's place. They had their dogs with them and was having a great time. He said it was cool and nice and perfect weather, and they'd gotten into some birds when my dad says that he saw something that he couldn't explain. He tells me what he saw was something that looked like stacks of Reynolds wrap, that clear, clean plastic stuff, except it was in the shape of a man,
and it was moving along the shoreline opposite the river they were hunting on. He said what he saw was man-shaped, between 5 and 6 feet tall, clear or see-through, except it had distortion along the edges, and the center was noticeably more clear. And that this phantom thing was moving like it had a purpose. But the minute my dad and his friend started watching it, that it somehow recognized that, and that it was being observed, and then it froze in place. Dad said that it squatted down and watched them back for a bit, and that their dogs were acting really strange and like super nervous. Dad said they were whimpering and whining and were getting antsy, not wanting to sit where they were at. So he and his buddy stood up, holding their guns, and started back for the truck. And he said this phantom thing then slid off into the water and went under. Now, he told me they didn't know what to say or what to do, really. But they beelined it back to the truck, loaded the dogs and their gear, and was about to head out when Dad said he saw the damn thing in a tree about 20 yards from the truck, just watching them. He said they hadn't heard anything, and that the dogs had chilled out when they got back to the truck, so they had no reason to worry. But at that moment, Dad said he got scared, and they hauled ass out of there. Now, he told me that he and his buddy didn't really talk about it after that. And then, of course, they graduated, moved on with life, and his old hunting buddy moved off and now lives in North Carolina. Dad said he mentioned it one time to the guy that owned the land that they had hunted on, and he laughed, said he'd never seen anything like that, but that it was hard to keep cats around his barn and all around his place, and that maybe that was why. So Dad and I chatted a little more about it, and he assured me I wasn't crazy, and if I was, that he was crazy too. And that was it, guys. I've scouted for this season, of course, back in the summer, and my cousin has come with me, and we've had zero encounters. But I can't stop thinking about what the hell it was, and why has it been in this area so long? I may ask a few of the other guys that hunt around here if they've had anything strange happen. But I don't want news to travel that I might be crazy. Keep up the great show, guys, DT. And P.S., there's been no strange pictures on the trail cams. Nothing weird has ever shown up in those. So who knows?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. First of all, thanks, DT, for sending that
in. Absolutely.
I never even heard of the Castachi National Forest, so I had to look it up. It looks pretty awesome.
Looks pretty dense.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass around there.
This is something that we've never really talked about on the show. We've actually contemplated reading this one for a little while, as well as some others that we have that I'm going to read that we're not going to read today, but we're going to read on some future episodes. When we got into this podcasting, starting the show, you know, we've always had a lifelong interest in the paranormal, but we're still pretty familiar with things like Black Eyed Kids, The Grinning Man, you know, your normal cryptids and things like that. This is a new one. This is one I've even heard, you know, I was introduced to the rake. I'd never heard of a rake before we started the show, and we had a sightings. I think Chris James said he had a sighting of the rake, as well as some other people. over the years of doing the show, we've been doing the show for about 5.5 years. We've gotten a few emails. I know that we've read them on the air during the news portion of people over at Phantoms and Monsters that have recalled seeing this. They're seeing something in the woods, but nobody knows what to call it. They always call it the Predator, right? Because of the movie, The Predator, and the cloaking of the Predator. And I think it's time that we coin a new phrase. I think it's time that we start a new name for whatever this thing is. And me and Cam have been talking about it for weeks. And when DT sent this in, we decided that we were going to go ahead and throw a name out there for it. And what did we come up with?
The right? Glimmer Man.
Right?
I love the name.
The Glimmer Man.
I know it's one of your favorite Seagal movies was that's, The Glimmer Man.
That's right. Yep. Steven Seagal.
But, yeah. Glimmer Man. That's there's really nothing else I could think of. And like you and I discussed, we kicked around all these different ideas, but I just love just the sound of the Glimmer Man.
It has a good ring to it. You know, it much does. Like the Slender Man and things like
because
that.
Because the Predator, it doesn't really go with anything.
Yeah, no.
Because it's too, I can't say vague, it's just too wide open, and it's something that you would call it. But and the Glimmer Man, I really enjoy.
And we've started putting a subcategory when we get these emails in. Apparently, they've been seeing this thing for a long time, long before the movie came out. And I wonder...
Well, his dad saw it in 75.
Yeah, so I'm saying, I wonder the person, I don't know offhand who wrote the movie Predator, but I wonder if they were influenced by this. Maybe somebody had told them. Maybe they themselves had seen something as a young boy. And that led them to write the story about the cloaking. But from all the stories I've read, it's really unclear as to what this is. It's obviously biological. It's obviously purposely cloaking or camouflaging itself. The real question is it an extraterrestrial? Is it an ultra-terrestrial? Something from another dimension? Or is there some secret society that is developing some new type of cloaking camouflage, and they're testing it by going into the woods and spying on deer, other animals, trying to see if the forest creatures are noticing them. Also, if a human being happens to see them, how well it works on humans. But one of the scary parts is they've been seeing it for a long time. So this isn't like recent technology. Obviously, back in 1975, somebody had this technology. So there's lots of theories out there. Did the Nazis escape to South America and were working on some top secret project and they developed this? Is there some other secret society? You know, the Bilderbergs, something like that, where when they're done, what's the owl they worship? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I forgot the name, but yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Marduk or something like Marduk or something like that.
The Owl Man or what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Owl Neck.
I wonder if it's some secret society. You know, they talk about the secret space program. Could there be a secret program where people have the ability to cloak themselves? I don't know.
My question is the Glimmer Man responsible for some of these missing hunters and things that have gone missing, like in the missing 411 books?
There's a story I need to read from a listener that wrote in. This was about 2.5 years ago where apparently there's a lot of cattle mutes going on in an area of New Mexico, and the person had a sighting of the Glimmer Man. And I'm wondering if that's a conjunction. But once again, is this an extraterrestrial who's cloaking itself and mutilating cattle for scientific reasons? Or is it actually humans that are cloaking themselves because they're up to nefarious, you know, things out in the plains of where they're invading these ranches? I don't know, but it's not a one-off story. There seemed to be, like the story I read in the beginning of the news with the rectangular thing with tentacles, I've never heard of a single sighting like that.
No.
That's a one-off, right?
Well, and what's funny is every time we do a story that has to do, it's kind of like with these pterosaur, when I touch on pterosaurs, little people, or these, now the Glimmer Man, we get more stories sent in like that. Even when we talk about them in the news.
Yeah.
Those seem to be some that people are like, they hear it and they're like, man, I've heard them talk about it for a couple of years. I got to send them my story.
Yep.
And we get those sent in, and then they just, and over the last few years, we've gotten a bunch of these. And I think it's also one of our favorite stories, or at least our favorite sightings from the perspective of, we love those movies.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nostalgic thing, but it starts piecing the idea of seeing these things. And Kyle and I just started discussing this a few weeks ago, starts piecing in. It's like, that's the missing puzzle piece of the missing people, the cattle mutilations, the reason you don't see things during abductions, the reason aliens or something can come and go out of your house is because if you're not, like, you think about it at night, You would play hell seeing something like that at night without a light source behind it to see the distortion.
Yeah, you know, the way I think about it is if, like, on a hot summer day, you look through
the
binoculars, you see the mirage or the heat waves. Imagine something like that at night, though, but at 100 yards away at night, you would never see it.
Yeah.
You would never see
it. Hell, 10 yards. If there was no light behind it and it just crouched down. I find it interesting that it's not huge.
That's a
5-footer.
Yep.
So you're like, okay, so it's not something ginormous.
Nothing spectacular. And, you know, the idea of cloaking is not a new thing. I mean, they were talking about it in Star Trek. There's been numerous sightings of UFOs that have been cloaked. What was the Disney movie? The Flight of the Navigator. Even he was able to cloak.
That's a great movie.
Remember, he was able to cloak the craft?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a real thing. That not only can they possess the technology to cloak their aircraft, but they are cloaking themselves or their suit that they're wearing. And I'm saying they.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, well, if you've got any Glimmer Man sightings, please send them in, because we've got a pile of them and we'll compile a bunch of them up.
Yeah, please.
We'll do a whole nother. Yeah, because I've probably got 15 or 20 more that are just as interesting, if not crazier, of just Glimmer Man sightings that have been seen in the woods, been seen in towns, been seen all over. And I think there's more to it going on. And it's also one of those things that you would see a giant Mothman flying. You'll see a wolf man. You'll see, you know, like Dog Man or something like that. But now you've got to, makes me always think about when people always like, well, when you feel like somebody's watching you, they are, and you look around, they're not, you know, there's nobody there. Well, maybe the Glimmer Man's there. Maybe he's there kicking it and you just haven't, it would be real easy to look right past him.
You're 100% right. I mean, what if that is what's going on?
Right. It's the craziness of the Glimmer Man.
Yeah, that is awesome. Also, Halloween's over, but don't fret if you have stories other than the Glimmer Man. And you have stories of your own you'd like to share with me and Kim. Please don't hesitate. Send them to expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 817-945-3828. You can follow us on all forms of social media. Kim, what do you got planned for your weekend? I've got my very last baseball tournament of 2018. I'm looking forward to it all being over.
I'm going to conduct a wedding this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
I have a wedding. I'm going to be doing a little jiu-jitsu training, and then I'll be going and conducting a wedding. So that's my whole game plan. And then, of course, this weekend is opening day of rifle deer season, which I hunt with crooked sticks. So I've had it for a month starting already, so it's no big deal. But anybody that gets married on opening day of deer season is just crazy.
What? Who does that?
Nobody does. You get married in the summer. What's the matter with you?
Ruin your life? Yeah. Your anniversary's on opening day?
You're like, what, are you out of your mind?
Obviously not a hunter.
Yeah, that's also like you never get married to open the day of baseball. Like, what, are you crazy? Why would you do that?
Yeah, right? Everybody out there, please be careful. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hill.
Peace, y'all. We'll be right back.
bitch. Go hyphy in this bitch. Go hyphy in this bitch. Go hyphy in this bitch.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.